Good morning. It's time for the Clay County Corner, coming to you live from the historic Clay County Courthouse in Salina, Tennessee. For the next hour, the Clay County Corner will inform you of what's happening in our community. Sit back and enjoy the program.
Morning, everyone. I'd like to take this opportunity once again to welcome everyone in here to WVFB FM 101.5 Kicks Country, here to the Clay County Corner, coming to you live and in living color from the old courthouse. And we'd like to thank everyone for tuning us in this morning. And of course, before we begin the show, we'd like to thank everyone that makes this possible, especially the Clay Chamber and the Three Star folks, and all of the folks that help sponsor this show by purchasing a little bit of time on here to keep us going. And we'd like to encourage all of the merchants here in Clay County and all around that would like to be an advertiser, give them a call at the radio station, and they'll take care of that for you. With that, this morning, we'll be here live now, as we said, at 9 o'clock, and we'll have a rebroadcast this afternoon at 6 o'clock. And we're also streamed on the Del Hollow Horizon newspaper site. So you have three opportunities to catch us today. And as we said, if you're listening now, you can call your neighbors. Of course, you can't go visit them now. You have to call them. You have to keep the distance and everyone. So we're lucky that fiber optic doesn't transmit viruses. That's all we've got to say now. But realize, of course, this is not a laughing matter. And it is a real, real serious matter. And look like, you know, maybe as a country, we're kind of gaining a little bit of control over it. But we still got a long way to go. And like I said, we've got the director of schools in this morning, Mr. Matt Eldridge. He's going to talk a little bit about the school system situation. And then Mayor Reagan and Kevin will be joining us here at the second half of the show. I know the Governor Lee has issued a kind of a relaxing of the stay-at-home plan that he put in place, and we'll probably be talking about that a little bit. And, of course, Mr. Eldridge and I, he's going to talk about the situation with the school system and some of the things going on with, like, graduation, athletics, and then we might even talk about academics some. You know, sometimes folks think those are about third on the list after activities and athletics and then academics. But I know we all know that the world has changed, the academic world, the economic world, all those have changed, and it's not going to be a quick return to any of these things here for us as a nation and a people. And, you know, it's going to take a lot of understanding, a lot of sacrifice to get this done. You know, we realize that we are the strongest, greatest nation in the world, and we'll come through this like we do everything else. Now, I'm going to step down off my soapbox here for a minute, and we'll work in a couple of words from our sponsors, and we'll be right back with Matt Eldridge. Thank you.
Macon Bank and Trust offers a new and better checking account with free e-checking. Enroll for e-statements to avoid a $6 monthly minimum balance charge and enjoy free ATM cash withdrawals at some ATMs across the nation. Free online banking and mobile banking with mobile deposit. Free online bill pay, MasterCard debit card, and 50 free checks at opening. Talk e-checks with us today. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC and equal housing lender. Come grow with us. Third-party data or messaging fees may apply.
The opioid epidemic is affecting countless lives, including young adults. Did you know approximately 45% of opioid prescriptions to adolescents are made by dentists, often after wisdom teeth removal? These drugs carry risks, but you can help reduce your risk or the risk for a loved one. If prescribed an opioid, ask your dentist to consider limiting prescriptions to 3 days, using over-the-counter pain relievers, and properly disposing of unused medications. For more information, go to shatterproof.org. This has been a message from Shatterproof, United Healthcare, and this station.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness. With a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists, they serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
You may not realize how important three letters can be. For a patient who needs type A, B, or O blood, these letters can mean life. But there simply aren't enough people giving blood. Without more donors, hospitals may not have the blood needed to save lives. That's why the American Red Cross needs people to help restore the A's, B's, and O's that are depleting each day. You are the missing type patients need. Visit redcrossblood.org/missing types or call 1-800-RED-CROSS to make your donation appointment today.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
All right, everybody in the car, let's go.
What are we going to do first when we get there, Mom? Go for a hike?
Sure.
What about canoeing? Can we go canoeing, too?
I don't see why.
How long does it take to get to the forest?
It's not that far, sweetie.
Are we there yet?
Yep, we're here.
Already?
It's a short drive from your neighborhood to your naturehood. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a neighborhood park or green space near you. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Forest Service.
Welcome back, everyone. Once again, sitting here this morning with Mr. Matt Eldridge, who is the director of schools here in Clay County. Matt, I don't know where to start other than just to say good morning and talk to us a little bit, I guess.
Well, first, I'm going to say thanks to Thomas. I know he does a good job at this, but thank him for being appreciative and saying what he did. Like, we're living in the best, greatest country we are, and we're all going through some hard times. But it's like he said before we went to commercial break there, we're still living the greatest country after, and I thank him for saying that. We do. And too many times we get caught up on what we don't have and what's not going right, but that's why everyone else wants to get into this country, and we're still the greatest, and we'll come out of this thing. We're going to. But I thank him for saying that. But anyway, no, this is my 34th year, and it's like we were talking off air. It's my 34th year in education, and Lord, we've never seen anything like it. You know, even back in the 70s when I was in school, and we had 2 months of snow we missed, but there was never your life was never in danger. And this is the thing, no one knows what the guidance to give you sometimes, but I'll tell you what we know is at this point, I do think they'll. Well, I tell you what, let's start it this year. I think what we're going to try to do in graduation, we're going to try by May 1st to make a decision, and we're going to have a graduation. One of the best options Mr. Upchurch came up with is I doubt they lift it to where we can get in big groups again, but one option, if they lifted it some, we're going to give a limited amount of tickets to the parents and their family, let them come in and see if we can space them out in the gym if they lift the gathering. And still have a graduation in the gym. If we can't do that, and I doubt they lift it by that time, then what we're going to try to do is get each graduate to come in and let them come in with their parents. And at that time, we'll video them. We'll let them come up first. Mr. Upchurch will, you know, we'll have his speech and we'll have his welcome, and we'll let the students come in their cap and gown with their parents. And we'll let them walk up. Mr. Upchurch will announce them. We'll video them walking up in their cap and gown. He'll name them, talk about all the awards they've received. They'll pick their diploma up and let them video them walking off. And we'll do that to each student. So as a valedictorian, when we edit the tape, there'll be a DVD of the welcome by Mr. Upchurch, valedictorian address, just like a normal graduation would be, and we would show each student coming up. So there would be something. It would look just like on video, a normal graduation. And that may be the best idea we have. I know others have thought about, what about the football field? What about different? That's still kind of not what they're wanting us to do, but we're going to have some type of celebration for that. At this time, prom, we don't know. That would probably be the worst-case situation. I hate that form. But right now, we've got to forego the prom until we know something more definite as far as the gathering in numbers, and right now they still want to do it. I know it's going to be relaxed, they say, a little bit as it goes. I don't know if it'll make time. Hopefully, if it does, we could maybe still come up with something, but we'll have to wait and see on that one. as school-wise, we're still doing distance learning, and we're on our school websites. We've got some teachers sending stuff every day, but we're trying to, with the children, we've called all of our students to check on them, to check how they're doing academically, if they're needing help. We've also check on their physical well-being and their family's physical well-being, because we care about them more than just grades. That's not, you know, you get to know the kids and you love them, and it's not just the grades you're worried about. But so we've done that. We've reached out to them that way, and we're going to continue on and up going for this next year, kind of continue on. We're going to try to prepare about 25 days of distance learning. We're getting enough money from the government. I think we're going to try to get more Chromebooks to send home with kids. And I think Twin Lakes is trying to, if that student does not have internet access and they foot a certain bill, they're going to try to give them internet access during this time. So we'd like to thank them for that. If they fit under their range and certain guidelines. But we're going to try to access and get students Chromebooks and things, because what they've told us to prepare for, and we're going to try to, is what if we turn right back around and this fall this happens again? Now, I have, of course, we had an incident that we had one of our instructors with this, and I talked to two of the physicians in Upper Cumberland, one over the Centers for Disease and Control in Upper Cumberland area, or infectious disease doctor, I'll say it that way. And they said that this may have been around longer than everybody thinks it has. They said this could be. They said it's when everyone was going this year, and y'all know probably you may have been one, y'all listening to us, but had a family member that probably went to the doctor and it tested negative for the flu or an upper respiratory infection, and they weren't getting answers. And they said they think this is what's been around longer than we know. And at one time they were saying they thought maybe late February this was around. But if you notice, I think last night they were saying January 6th was actually the first case of it they know of, but it could have been before that. So, you know, this could have been around longer according to them. I hope they come up with something. They're working hard, they say, tell us to, at least if it's not a vaccine, it's something that prevents it from spreading or multiplying in your body. They were talking about that last night on the news, so we hope so. A scariest thing like this, I said, it's almost like if you picked a dandelion up as a kid and you blew it, and all those seeds went everywhere, you can't hardly get them all back. So it's like when someone gets this and they talk to one person, and if everybody just talked to one person, you can't contain it. And that's the scariest thing. When we've got all the kids in school, kids are going to touch each other. They're going to get up and talk to each other. They're going to share a pencil. They're going to share, and it being as contagious, it's very scary. So that's why we've taken the steps we did. We actually turned out school and had that date done about, I don't know, 4 or 5 days before the governor told us to do it by the end of the month. I think we'd done it on the 12th or 13th, because there's nothing worth that health or that life or that, and it's not just the students. It's the students could have it and carry it home to a grandparent or something, someone like that. So, you know, hopefully it can be contained, but we're trying to go on with educating the children in school. We're trying to make contact with them. And that's all we really know at this point. I think they said they're going to try to ease up some on May 1st, but there's still going to be a lot of safety measures have to be in place.
Okay, with that, let's take a little short break, and we'll be back. You know, Matt, you know, when you said, you know, about the multiplication there, I can remember the old proposition someone would throw out, you know, would you begin to work for a farmer for a penny a day if he'd promised to double it every day for a month? And you sit there and you thought, well, that'd be foolish. And then you look at the end of that month, and you were up $1 million. And, you know, that's kind of what we've got here.
one to two, two to four, four to eight, and before you know it, you know, you've got an entire country, you know, that's actually contaminated with this thing. And, you know, if you look at the map of the way this thing is set up, you know, the states that have this, not necessarily the biggest population, but the greatest concentration of population, where folks just don't seem like they can not go by without touching someone or during the day, didn't it? But with that, let's take a little short break. We'll be back just in a minute, and we'll talk a little bit about the future, maybe. All right.
Let's face it, we are not the most patient people on earth. We've become accustomed to having instant solutions to most any need. Macon Bank and Trust now offers an instant solution for your spending needs with Card at Once, an instant issue MasterCard debit card. Come in, open your account, and walk out with your new debit card. No waiting. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC and equal housing lender. Come grow with us.
The opioid epidemic is affecting countless lives, including young adults. Did you know approximately 45% of opioid prescriptions to adolescents are made by dentists, often after wisdom teeth removal? These drugs carry risks, but you can help reduce your risk or the risk for a loved one. If prescribed an opioid, ask your dentist to consider limiting prescriptions to 3 days, using over-the-counter pain relievers, and properly disposing of unused medications. For more information, go to shatterproof.org. This has been a message from Shatterproof, United Healthcare, and this station.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
You may not realize how important three letters can be. For a patient who needs type A, B, or O blood, these letters can mean life. But there simply aren't enough people giving blood. Without more donors, hospitals may not have the blood needed to save lives. That's why the American Red Cross needs people to help restore the A's, B's, and O's that are depleting each day. You are the missing type patients need. Visit redcrossblood.org/missing types or call 1-800-RED-CROSS to make your donation appointment today.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
All right, everybody in the car, let's go.
What are we going to do first when we get there, Mom? Go for a hike?
Sure.
What about canoeing? Can we go canoeing, too?
I don't see why.
How long does it take to get to the forest?
It's not that far, sweetie.
Are we there yet?
Yep, we're here.
Already?
It's a short drive from your neighborhood to your naturehood. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a neighborhood park or green space near you. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Forest Service.
Back, everyone. I've got Mr. Matt Eldridge here with me this morning, and we've been talking a little bit about some of the plans for trying to finish up this year. And I think we forgot to mention, Matt, you did, that about the closing of the school year this year. You want to explain how that's going to work a little bit for everyone?
It is, yes, sir. We had what we're going to do, we're going to be taking the last of any assignments or any practice work that the students did. We'll be taking that in on May 1st. Will be the last day we'll be accepting it. Anything after that, we'll be closing the schools, and we'll still be feeding through that 15th. But we'll be closing the schools down. We'll have teachers coming in and staggered groups. We won't have them all there, but we'll be having them come in and close down the schools, and they'll be taking any Chromebooks we have, that's not been turned in. They'll be taking, and they'll be reaching out to students with that too. They will be taking any books, any things like that that needs to be turned back in during that time. So that's what we're going to try to do to close school up this year.
Okay, and another thing, of course, has been really important this spring to us all, especially us basketball fans, was, you know, the fact that we were getting ready to go to a state tournament. And, you know, that was kind of, you know, topsy-turvy there for a little while, and they kept, you know, holding, like, you've seen the old cartoon of the donkey with the ear of corn out in front of him where they got him to follow it. Mm-hmm. They went through that process for a little while and then finally made a decision. And then, you know, we come back and we hear that even that may have not been a final decision. Matt, have you got anything you could...
Well, we had heard the same thing. You know, well, we think it's going to be played. We think it's going to be played. And it's very disappointing. It's like we talked with Coach Edwards. I mean, they do a great job, got a great team and some good players on it this year, great players. And it's like he told me, I think we could beat anybody down there. He said, I'm not saying... they couldn't beat us, but he said, if we play like we've been playing, we could beat anybody down there. And that's what you work for all year. And to get to that point, three games away from a championship, very disappointing for coaches, the kids, the community, the faculty, staff, everybody. Because you look forward to that. I mean, you look forward to that competing on the state level with everyone. And we've got as good of kids here as they do anywhere in the state, anywhere in the country. So... very disappointing on that, and I don't know how they're going to write it down, because this is the first time, Thomas, I guess, and that I can remember that it's ever happened, that they've never followed through with it, isn't it?
Yes, I mean, you know, it's just, I don't know what you can actually say there, other than, I guess, you know, if it's final and it's over, I guess, you know, it's one of those things where the dream ends right there, or if... and there really, it doesn't look like there's any way right now, you know, with the students. Right now, the seniors that were on teams are scattered. They haven't been able to practice for, you know, as a team. You know, and I don't know, it's been extremely difficult for student athletes that maybe wanted to even do some individual practicing to get into a gymnasium even by themselves and do things. So it's been a tough time. And spring sports also the same way.
Well, and it would be. I mean, you think just like, you're saying, Coach, if you went back now even, you're going to have them play it, and they hadn't practiced in a month.
Yeah.
It'd be hard to do.
Okay, and I know you said something about football, you know, and that's down in the fall, but, you know, we have no idea what's going to happen with sports in the high school.
I'm going to use football. I talked to Coach Johnson the other day, and I told him, I said, Coach, I know you're excited and you're ready to get started, but I said, Coach, I don't know that we don't know what football or if there'll be football. I said, when the Tennessee Titans are talking about if they have a season, there may not be anybody in the crowd. I said, it's going to affect us too. I said, so you don't really know. I said, so we hope we have it. We hope it works. We hope they have vaccines. But I said, at this point, you know, we're just on hold. We can't tempt fate. We can't put kids together in a dangerous situation. We're going to be on a whole pattern on that.
And even, you know, even on the economic level, you know, at a high school, you couldn't do a high school program without spectators in it, because you couldn't afford to do it, because, you know, it's barely a break even, if it is a break even prospect for especially schools this size to be able to afford the sports programs that we have.
Well, it's a, you know, when you're getting between, I'm going to say, a low end, probably $2,000 to $4,000 on ball games, $1,500 to $3,500, whatever that would be at the gate and concessions and everything, you know, and that's the equipment's high, the cost of the field, everything's high. You have to have that to maintain just to carry on the program. And when you don't have spectators, I mean, I'm going to use NCAA tournament. You know, when they cancel men's NCAA tournament, they know it's serious, because that's not millions of dollars. That's billions of dollars they're losing. And that's how serious it is.
Well, you know, really and truly, you get to looking at it, did the NCAA lose their ticket money, because I don't think they did any refunds, did they? You know,
they probably didn't. You're right.
You know, I think you had to buy the finals. Everything was all sold out. And, of course, for the city hosting, you know, they had a tough time. Well, Matt, let's talk about the future a little bit. I know you probably spent maybe 35, 40 minutes thinking about what is going to happen this fall.
Well, right now, what we think, and they've not given us guys yet definite, but I think we'll go back to school as normal. But there's plans, and some systems are alternating days where I take half, so instead of having a class of 20, we have a class of 10 that day, and we can keep them separate. There's thoughts of that. But I think they're going to ask us to go back as normal. And that's what our plans are right now. We'll have to take more precautions. You know, I've heard some districts say their children may wear masks all day. I don't know. But they've told us we're having webinars 3 times a week with the commissioner, and they're trying to give us a little guidance as they can. And they said there'll be more information. Yesterday, they said there'll be more information as comes. I do think there'll be more precautions. There'll be more, and it may be. Some children are at home doing distance learning this week, and some are at school interacting with teachers. I think there'll be some type, possibly, of a modified class.
Okay, you just mentioned that you know, we're talking about alternating days, and on those alternating days, we're not talking about students not being educated those days. We're talking about distance learning days.
Yes, sir. Talking about still working on the internet, still working on the Chromebooks, and if we could set it up, you know, they may could log in through Zoom and watch class with the teacher even.
Right. You know, we've had that capability around here for a long, long time, and I guess it's just been laying here waiting for us to read. This is not a pleasant way to start these things, but, you know, and we talked about reducing class sizes. Well, you know, it's hard to reduce class sizes without doubling your faculty, isn't it?
That's right.
And, you know, that brings on, once again, that dollar sign, doesn't it?
It does.
But, you know, it looks like, you know, hopefully, sometime within the future, we'll be back to, like we said, our normal schedules. And hopefully that this fall, by September, we'll be, on a normal schedule. And, you know, I know you're looking forward to that. And like you said, I know your teachers are looking forward to it. And I'm sure there are a lot of parents that are looking forward to school beginning again. And with that, Matt, it's been great having you here this morning, and hopefully that if anything comes up, any type changes, you'll give me a call and Tom, come down and join us. And we'd love to have you back anytime that you see fit. You need to come by and relay some information to them.
All right. Thank you, sir.
All right. Thank you for being with us. And before we go to our break, we've got a list of birthdays today. And I have got a great big long list today. I think a lot of folks, these are some that have I've run across on social networking. We've had some call-ins. But apparently there's a whole lot of people this week here. And I know we probably hadn't even started to scrape the bottom of the barrel here. The top of the barrel. With birthdays this week, but going down through a list today that we have that celebrate birthdays this past week. Richard Buford celebrated a birthday along with Marion Murphy and Carla Carver Rich on the 20th of this month. And also John Merritt across the street celebrated a birthday. Elaine Cherry, cashier at the bank for a number of years, celebrated a birthday this week. And we'd like to wish George and Betty Melton a happy 60th wedding anniversary on the 22nd. And also on the 22nd, Donna Stone Haynes celebrated a birthday, and Mr. David Westmoreland Jr., better known as Rat, celebrated a birthday on the 22nd. And then on the 23rd, we had Skeeter Stone celebrated a birthday. Miss Vivian Watson from down at Clay County High School celebrated the birthday. Kaylana Meadows on the 23rd. Kim Grace on the 23rd. And then looking back, I also hear Miss Sue Cherry celebrated the birthday on the 19th. And then on Tuesday, and I hope I've got this right, Sean Dooney celebrated 25th birthday, and this is called him my nanny and papa. And also celebrating the 8th birthday on the 20th of April, Kinsley Reagan and Nanny and Pa called that one in. And then on Sean's birthday, you see, that was Nanny, Papa, Jaden, and Nate and Kia, I believe. I wanted to wish them a happy birthday. And with that, we'll take a little short break, come back. Kevin just made it in, and I think Mayor Reagan's on his way. And Mayor Reagan's not on his way up, okay. But we'll be back. Kevin and I will be back just here in a minute. With that, we'll take a little short break, and we'll be right back.
Identity theft is the fastest-growing crime in America, and fraud is a threat to all of us. That's why Macon Bank & Trust SecureLock makes great sense. This easy-to-use mobile app allows you to protect your debit card, turning it on and off as needed, and you can customize your card by setting certain permissions. Want to know more about how to protect yourself and your money? Then talk with us today. Macon Bank & Trust, member FDIC and equal housing lender. Come grow with us.
The opioid epidemic is affecting countless lives, including young adults. Did you know approximately 45% of opioid prescriptions to adolescents are made by dentists, often after wisdom teeth removal? These drugs carry risks, but you can help reduce your risk or the risk for a loved one. If prescribed an opioid, ask your dentist to consider limiting prescriptions to 3 days, using over-the-counter pain relievers, and properly disposing of unused medications. For more information, go to shatterproof.org. This has been a message from Shatterproof, United Healthcare, and this station.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
You may not realize how important three letters can be. For a patient who needs type A, B, or O blood, these letters can mean life. But there simply aren't enough people giving blood. Without more donors, hospitals may not have the blood needed to save lives. That's why the American Red Cross needs people to help restore the A's, B's, and O's that are depleting each day. You are the missing type patients need. Visit redcrossblood.org/missing types or call 1-800-RED-CROSS to make your donation appointment today.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
All right, everybody in the car, let's go.
What are we going to do first when we get there, Mom? Go for a hike?
Sure.
What about canoeing? Can we go canoeing, too?
I don't see why.
How long does it take to get to the forest?
It's not that far, sweetie.
Are we there yet?
Yep, we're here.
Already?
It's a short drive from your neighborhood to your naturehood. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a neighborhood park or green space near you. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Forest Service.
Welcome back, everyone. Once again, it's great to be here with you this morning. I know last week we had all kinds of sunshine coming through the window. This morning, we haven't had any of that yet, and I think I saw on my handy-dandy phone over here that we may have some severe weather heading. I don't know if it's particularly heading toward us or not, but look like we may be in for a little bit of storm and rain today before the day's out. But Kevin Donaldson is here with us this morning. I guess we're kind of co-hosting now, I guess, again.
Well, you're still the host. I'm glad to be a guest.
Well, I think next week, I believe, Mr. Kenny Westmoreland stopped me the other day and volunteered and said that he would like to come over next week. I associate with Volunteer State. community college, and I think maybe he's rounded up some folks from over there to come over.
That's a good deal.
Yeah, and have that one next week. Okay, Kevin, I guess we can start with our coronavirus update here in the state of Tennessee.
We can, Thomas. Looking at overall numbers, I know everybody's looking at these on TV and hearing it on radio and seeing it other places, but we're inching up close to 8,000 total cases in the state, 7,842. Unfortunately, 166 deaths statewide. Now, getting that down to a local number, it's encouraging to see that our total number of cases has not gone up for at least a week now. We're still at five. Now, one very interesting number associated with that is of the five confirmed cases we have, three are now listed as recovered. Taking that out a little bit further, there have been 181 negative labs come back. So we're getting up close to 200 people that's been tested that we know of. And, of course, these numbers are updated daily. And, folks, if you feel like you need to be tested, we'll emphasize again, you can do that at the Clay County Health Department, just across from the library, just behind us at the Chamber of Commerce, Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Of course, Thomas, we know in the last, well, this will be the second weekend, some special weekend testing sites have been set up across the state. And on Saturday, the nearest one to us, now we had neighboring Pickett County as a site last week, but the nearest one to us would be Smith County. On Sunday, the nearest one would be Putnam County, the Putnam County Health Department on County Services Drive in Cookeville. Of note, I heard this morning that on the radio that Putnam County, not that far away from us, became the 12th county in the state to report 100 cases, triple digits. That's not that far away, and I've had to go to Cookeville a couple of times during the past, well, I guess, two-week period, must-do cases. And there's still a lot of folks circulating there. The shopping centers are vacant totally. But if you drive by Lowe's, it's just mind-boggling how many people how many cars are in the lot anyway.
Well, you know, it's not a real bad feeling there if you put your mask on and go out and pick up your garden plant outside.
Absolutely. Well, you know, I know everybody's keeping up with this probably more than sometimes we wish we had to, but being outside is a good thing as long as you're practicing appropriate social distancing. And, you know, we didn't know what that term – did that term exist 6 weeks ago? I'm not sure if it's been recently created or what. But.
Well, now, you know, Kevin, that social distance has been around a long, long time, as you remember. You remember some young ladies used to say, well, I wouldn't touch him with a 10-foot pole. And they had it at 10 foot.
Right,
So they were even safer. But, no, I also had to do a couple of doctor visits over in Cookeville, one to the optometrist, and their message there was, you know, go up to the front door and they'd check your temperature and all that stuff, get a couple of questions until you go back and get out in your vehicle, and they'll call you when they're ready.
Right.
And there wouldn't be, one day there wasn't, there was like one person at a time in there, and another time was for blood work over at Cookeville Hospital, and it was, you know, one person there, and it was, but, you know, one thing I did notice there, that there were very few people walking around there, but the employees there were not wearing masks there in the hospital. I did notice that.
Interesting.
But with that, I know we look around, and I know we in Putnam County, we had a couple of nursing homes that had some outbreaks.
Well, at least one, and that accounts for a big chunk of their overall number. Let me double check here. They are sitting exactly on 100 confirmed cases with 74 recoveries as well. Three out of every four people there have recovered, and let's see what their total. They have tested over 1,000 people in Putnam County. So the more testing you do, the higher the numbers are going to go.
You know, when I guess at the first of this month, and when the the prognosticators, the doctors, and they came up with a number that said by the end of April that Tennessee would probably have 10,000 active cases of the virus. And, you know, I personally, I'm sitting there thinking, you know, that can't happen. That can't happen. And I'm sure that thought may have entered your mind,
well,
too. But
it's going to be knocking on the door.
It's going to be close.
Yeah. Yeah, it will. With 7,800 today, of course, we're another week away as far as that goes from the end of this month. And I guess tied to that, I'm sure everybody is aware that the governor will not extend the I always get my terms mixed up here, but it's been safer at home, isn't it?
Yeah.
Some of the business, we're going to see that gradual phase in of the economy, and I guess the first part of that is certain businesses being able to open, some as early as this coming Monday, and then more later on. And I'll be honest, I've read that, and I'm still a little bit unsure of what it means. I know they still want us to practice appropriate social distancing. So some businesses will be able to reopen, but it'll be a different thing than what we're used to. It'll be interesting to see how that affects us locally here, too.
Well, you know, on a personal basis, I hope that I don't get in a crowd anywhere, get in a group anywhere where any of those protesters are at, because, you know, you look around and those folks were, you know, hugging and no masks and, you know, I mean, you know, that it's just, to us, it seems like, you know, they're inviting, you know, say, hey, Mr. Virus, I'm here, come get me, doesn't it?
Well, they're braver than I am, for sure. No, we're still in a situation. Just because some restrictions are listed, and I know we're not saying anything that you're not hearing on TV, and we're bombarded with that multiple times a day, and it's good information. But just because restrictions are listed does not mean that the virus isn't there anymore. That's what we need to remember. Nothing really has changed in that regard, although you know, we hear that term flattening the curve. Apparently, that's happening some. So that's great news.
You know, and you look at percentage points. You know, Kevin, when this thing started, 100% increase was, you know, it wasn't a big number because there wasn't a big number to base that on.
Right.
You know, when you double from one to two, that ain't a big number. But right now, when you're looking at what about 7,600 people, you said?
78, I believe, as of this morning.
And you get a 10% increase? Look at how many people you're talking
that's
about.
That's a lot of folks.
You're talking about nearly 800 people.
Absolutely.
And that's...
It's a big number. But again, we need to emphasize that the more testing that is done, and there is a tremendous amount going on, the more the numbers are going to rise. There's no question about that. It's simply a confirmation of those folks having the virus. And we don't know whether or not it continues to spread. I don't know. I'm not a medical person. It's really difficult to weed through and sort through all the information we got available to us. It really is.
Yeah, it seems like, you know, we're just inundated. Like, as you said, you can't go 5 minutes on any type of station that they don't have a ribbon going across the bottom.
Absolutely.
You know, talking about things. And, you know, when we talk about, you know, in New York, they talk about the, you know, that it's flattening out. Well, you know, they're flattening out for over a quarter of a million cases.
Right.
And the flattening out there means that they'd still be having a tremendous...
Each day. Absolutely.
And, you know, I know it's strange now when you see a picture of Times Square and there's no one in it, but, you know, it's scary to think of if we looked up one day square full of people again right now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, I don't... Again, I'll emphasize I'm not a medical person, but that we'd see numbers skyrocket. Yeah, and I don't know if we can describe them as skyrocketing, but it's been a tremendous increase from day to day. Thomas, I know we're probably up against a break, but let me throw something in that's tied to all this a little bit. Jobless claims. You know, that's something we're hearing a lot of. So many people across the state have been, I guess we'd say, temporarily laid off. We hope it's just temporary for most of those folks. I read just a few moments ago that the jobless claims in Tennessee are down for the second straight week. That's good news. But that number is still almost 70,000 claims last week. 393,000 claims filed in Tennessee over the past 5 weeks. Going back to that 70,000 number, that for 1 week, I know the Department of Labor had 25, I believe, people processing claims before the COVID-19 crisis. The last number I saw, they'd increased that tenfold, 250 people. But if 250 people, or let's say 300, are trying to work 70,000 cases a week, that's impossible.
Right.
That is almost 300 a day. And that's impossible. No way that can be done. So it's a painstaking process, and I feel for the folks who are in the process of filing and having some difficulties. But the system, both electronically and manpower-wise, has just been overloaded. It really has.
And you know, there was no way that this type of situation could have been predicted. I think I may have said this before, but if back in February, our political leaders from either side of the aisle ever only come up and said, hey, we're going to need about $5 trillion here in the next few months to fight this this coronavirus. I mean, you know, their folks have been visiting them in the place where they'd placed them because, you know, everyone thought, hey, these guys are crazy. This can't happen in the United States.
Right.
And
but it has.
And, you know, and there's really, you know, no way to prepare for something like this. And, you know, we talk about trying to be prepared for the next time. Well, you know, there's really no way that that a nation can really have everything in place to take care of everything in something like this.
Seems to me it's impossible to prepare for something of this magnitude.
That, you know, you can prepare for the known reasonably well, but the unknown, you know, it's hard to make good preparations. With that, Kevin, let's take a little short break. We come back, we've got some more things to talk about.
Macon Bank and Trust offers a new and better checking account with free e-checking. Enroll for e-statements to avoid a $6 monthly minimum balance charge and enjoy free ATM cash withdrawals at some ATMs across the nation. Free online banking and mobile banking with mobile deposit. Free online bill pay, MasterCard debit card, and 50 free checks at opening. Talk e-checks with us today. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC, and equal housing lender. Come grow with us. Third-party data or messaging fees may apply.
The opioid epidemic is affecting countless lives, including young adults. Did you know approximately 45% of opioid prescriptions to adolescents are made by dentists, often after wisdom teeth removal? These drugs carry risks, but you can help reduce your risk or the risk for a loved one. If prescribed an opioid, ask your dentist to consider limiting prescriptions to 3 days, using over-the-counter pain relievers, and properly disposing of unused medications. For more information, go to shatterproof.org. This has been a message from Shatterproof, United Healthcare, and this station.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness. With a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists, they serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
You may not realize how important three letters can be. For a patient who needs type A, B, or O blood, these letters can mean life. But there simply aren't enough people giving blood. Without more donors, hospitals may not have the blood needed to save lives. That's why the American Red Cross needs people to help restore the A's, B's, and O's that are depleting each day. You are the missing type patients need. Visit redcrossblood.org/missing types or call 1-800-RED-CROSS to make your donation appointment today.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
All right, everybody in the car, let's go.
What are we going to do first when we get there, Mom? Go for a hike?
Sure.
What about canoeing? Can we go canoeing, too?
I don't see why.
How long does it take to get to the forest?
It's not that far, sweetie.
Are we there yet?
Yep, we're here.
Already?
It's a short drive from your neighborhood to your naturehood. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a neighborhood park or green space near you. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Forest Service.
Welcome back, everyone. Kevin, I guess we'll just jump right back in again.
Thomas, something I know Mayor Reagan would have announced if he had been here today, and we'll do that in his stead on this coming Monday, April the 27th. The Clay County Commission will meet via conference call and Facebook Live at 6:30. A lot of folks may have said, well, I know a lot of folks saw the City of Salina Board of Mayor and Aldermen meeting that was broadcast on the Chamber's Facebook page this past week, and that was during the day. And by the numbers, I see hundreds and hundreds of people watched it. But again, we want to let everybody know that the County Commission will meet on Monday the 27th at 6:30. That's via conference call, and it'll be broadcast over the Clay County Chamber of Commerce Facebook page live. So do you tune in? Join us, I guess. I start to say tune in.
You join that, I think. And, you know, that's something that I guess we're all getting used to, and that is knowing that you could be on live somewhere or another just about any time in your life. And, you know, remembering back a few years ago when we would have some type of very important meeting and someone would request that a video camera be set up in the back of the room,
right,
and not worry about turning it on. If we're just sitting back there, some of the folks might think twice before they got up and said something that they knew was going to be recorded. And, you know, and I think sometimes, you know, when things are live that way, it does tend to make them a little bit more serious than it would be knowing that it's going to be recorded for posterity, doesn't it?
Right. Well, you've got literally hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of folks either watching it either live or later. Of course, that wonderful part of Facebook is it automatically records it for you, and you can watch it whenever you want to. That's a great thing. But, yeah, there's going to be a lot of people looking, no doubt about that.
And on the other hand, too, it also gives some of the characters out on the edge, it gives them an audience, too, which is a bad side of that. But now I know you've got some other things, Kevin, some cancellations, and we've got some openings.
Something that we needed to let everybody know, and I'm sure you'll probably have Mary Lloyd on here before long to talk more about that, but the Clay County Museum announced on their Facebook page last night, of course, the museum oversees homecoming days, and I'll just read this real quickly. It is much regret that the Clay County Museum Board of Directors have decided to cancel homecoming days in August 2020. We do not know the impact of the COVID-19 crisis, and we do not want to schedule and cancel at the last minute. Clay County Museum, again, straight from their Facebook page, raises funds through homecoming days to support the efforts of the museum through our endowment and high school scholarship programs. Now, here's future plans. Again, reading from their text, we're considering an online auction to be held in lieu of our local event, and we'll keep y'all updated as we decide the best course of action, taking into consideration our best choices for the health and safety of everyone. We want everyone to know that this decision was not reached easily, but after much debate, we feel we're obligated to help protect everyone by doing our part. And they want to say that please be safe, and we'll resume our normal operations in August of 2021. Of course, Thomas, last week we talked some about all these, you know, postponements and or cancellations. As we mentioned last week, you had Melissa White here, our Sesquicentennial Oversight Committee chairperson, and it's been delayed, postponed, and we don't have a day. Of course, you and I and several other folks are involved in that as well. We do not have a date yet, but the COVID-19 crisis is affecting all of us in a lot of ways. And of course, all of these large public gatherings may be up in the air for months and months. I know you and Matt also talked about the impact on the sports world, and that is a huge one, and that's an economic driver as well. I know we look at, well, sports is entertainment, and it goes to the back seat in a crisis like this. But there are a lot of dollars involved and very important operating funds for schools and universities and professional leagues, for sure.
You know, when you're looking down through this, you realize, you know, that it's going to be, you know, the first phase may be, you know, no more than 10 people in a meeting. Then it may go a month, and that gets doubled. And, you know, you're looking at all the way through the remainder of this year where you're not going to be able to bring in a crowd for a home football game, for a celebration of any kind where you have, you know, a couple of hundred people there at one time. You know, we really don't know how long that's going to last.
And can sports be played without fans? Well, yeah, it can, with certain risks, obviously. But hard for me to imagine, besides the economic impact of playing a game, you know, with nobody there. And you hear a lot of your pro athletes and college athletes talking about that. They don't want to do that. But who knows what we're going to be forced to do.
And, you know, you're bringing, and like in football, you're bringing 22 young men out there, and they're going to exchange all kinds of body fluids during something like that. And it doesn't take but, you know, you multiply that 22 by 10 for a football season and look at the number of contacts that you're exposing your student athletes to.
And your student athletes and other athletes have to go home somewhere, wherever home is.
Then they leave there, they go home, and, you know, you're looking at, you know, tremendous danger there, even if there's not anybody in the stands. No fans in the stands.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, Kevin, we've got a few minutes left. Quick, let's tell us a little bit about the hospital.
Well, of course, it's been widely publicized on Facebook and in our local media. There was an official, opening ceremony held up there at the hospital outside with appropriate social distancing on Monday to announce that. It's the ER is open and has seen, I know, some people. The clinic is open, and it's my understanding that patients can be admitted as well. Now, I think it's going to be a gradual thing, as I understand it, but that, you know, I don't know anything to say, but that's great news.
And I also saw where that Mr. Preston said, you know, the helipad is now open, and emergency room is able to stabilize and, you know, to transfer to other places right now, since they don't have the ability right now for, you know, keeping someone in the hospital. But that's basically the way that what we've been looking for is, you know, we get people stabilized where we don't lose them in that 20-minute trip over to Livingston, that type thing. So it looked like that's great news for the county. It's great news for everyone. And I'll say that I do know the clinic is working. I've been up there already once.
Well, you're firsthand.
So it's a new thing, and be prepared when you go up there because you've got to do all the paperwork again and that type thing. So,
Thomas, could I add something?
Yes.
I just got a text here. Want to emphasize the meeting for Monday night of the commission is the planning meeting. That's the planning meeting, and the regular meeting will be Monday, May 4th. I'm assuming that's a Monday. I don't have that right in front of me. Let me check that real quickly. Let's see here. Yes, that's a Monday also. They're on their regular schedule, basically. But this meeting Monday, late Monday evening or afternoon, 6:30, will be the planning meeting of the commission, but it'll be on Facebook Live.
Kevin, we may have managed something we've never done before, where we get cut off in the middle of a sentence here. We may have gotten, but right now we've got a birthday and our non-computerized, highly, highly sophisticated system this week has chosen Kinsley Reagan. Happy 8th birthday, Kinsley, and I think that you can come by and pick up the necessary equipment to get your cake, and the Dairy Queen is taking care of that, so you folks that are behind,
We'll have something worked out for that. Now, they're not going to let you come in.
And give us a call first. Call the chamber at 243-3338.
And they'll take care of you. And with that, I guess it's time that we say we've got the barn door shut here, all the livestock put back up, and we're ready to close it down for another week. But we'll be back with you here again next week, good Lord willing, on same time, same place, on WVFB-FM 101.5 Kicks Country. And with that, you know, may the good Lord bless and keep you until then. And with that, good day, Clay County.
Thanks for being with us today for the Clay County Corner on Kicks Country. We thank all of our interesting guests, and we thank all of our fine sponsors. Our sponsors take pride in and care about our community. So when the need arises, make sure you visit them. Or just give them a call and tell them thanks for sponsoring the Clay County Corner. So until next Thursday morning at 9, we hope you have a great week.